I got to be honest, I'm not even sure where to start with this one. Man. Hey, it's Meltdown. Thanks so much for downloading the podcast. As I'm actually in my home studio today as opposed to the studio at work. And I just was woken up by my wife around 6:30. She says, Chris Cornell died last night. I'm like, are you kidding me? I just saw him on stage last night. And the show last night at the Fox Theater completely sold out with the Pretty Reckless. And I don't know, I thought Chris Cornell was typical Chris Cornell last night. And then I wake up to find out of his passing. Apparently, according to reports that I saw on the internet so far, he was found unresponsive in his hotel with something around his neck in the bathroom. According to reports I saw, like I said, on the website. So I don't want to go any further than that because, you know, a lot's going to come out here in the next few days. But I just want to get this old interview I did. I shouldn't say old. It's 2014. They were celebrating the 20th anniversary of Super Unknown. And this was right before the tour with Nine Inch Nails. And it's really cool. Chris was, in great spirits. This was the only time I ever interviewed him, and he was fantastic. We talked about the Super Unknown, the connection between Soundgarden and Nine Inch Nails, touched on Black Sabbath, even touched on the fact that, you know, they're going to be eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame someday. And I'm thinking, as I was doing this, that they were probably eligible then because they had three records out, I think, before Bad Motor Finger. So, anyways, from the spring of 2014, here's my interview with Chris Cornell on Radio Chatter. Hey, man, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
It's going to be cool. 20 years since I played something off the Super Unknown for the first time. I'm getting old, apparently.
Yeah, I guess me too.
But yeah, the Deluxe and the Super Deluxe CDs come out on June 3rd. Tell everybody what those entail. I mean, I see tons of songs and bootlegs and demos and all sorts of stuff on this.
Yeah, it's kind of anything and everything that we could find associated with the album from that period to put in there. You know, so there's rehearsal tapes, there's demos from in various states. You know, there's original demos, some of the things that I recorded in my basement, you know, anything that we could find that might seem interesting.
Now, you did the entire Super Unknown in March at South by Southwest from start to finish. You're doing it again in June. Do you like playing complete albums like that?
Yeah, actually, I could see us doing that more in the future, you know, especially with Soundgarden albums are long. Mm-hmm. They're always an hour, at least. I think Super Unknown's a little bit longer than that. I think it's 74 minutes, something like that. So it's not like... Like, you can play that album and then maybe do something for an encore, and it can be a show. Mm. And you will have gone through a lot of dramatic musical moments in the context of it. And we've never really done it. We've always made long albums, and, for example, by the time Super Unknown came out, we had a lot of back catalog already to play. So once that record was released, we probably played about half of it live, you know, and then mixed up our sets with other songs. So it's another reason to kind of dust off sort of deeper album songs that we haven't been able to play a lot over the years. It would be nice. Like I've seen bands, for example, that come through New York and will do a different album every night, and then like the fifth night they'll just do songs from their whole career or literally just kind of take requests. And I think Soundgarden would be a band that could totally pull that off.
Yeah.
Just because of the kind of epic albums we've ended up making.
Talking with Chris Cornell here on WRIF. Of course, you'll be hitting the summer trail, the tour trail this summer with Nine Inch Nails. And it just hit me today. There's something that you and Nine Inch Nails have in common that I can't think of with any other band. Do you have any clue what that might be?
Well, let's see.
I'll tell you.
One guy's from Chicago. We released the albums on the same day. Super Unknown and Downward Spiral came out on the same day.
I did not know that. That's something I didn't know. But Johnny Cash covered a song from both of you guys.
Oh, yeah. You know, I eventually probably would have figured that one out, but maybe not.
It just dawned on me this morning, and that's so cool.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's also something... That was a huge thing for me, and I felt like I remember seeing the video for Hurt And I was a big fan of the Nine Inch Nails version of that. And I think their video that was on MTV was a live version, but it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And when I saw Johnny's version, it was almost hard to watch. It was so sad, and it was so heavy. And I had that same reaction when I heard him do Rusty Cage, and I remember getting phone calls from people. They were leaving messages saying how they'd heard his version of Rusty Cage and how amazing the lyrics were. And no one said that to me about the lyrics when they had only heard my version.
Right.
It wasn't until he was singing it that people actually bothered to, oh, well, let's listen to what he's saying. and it was a big moment in my life, him doing that.
By the way,
and now I'll get to ask Trent how it felt for him.
Yeah, there you go. And by the way, that video of Hurt that he did was up for an MTV award or something, and it lost to some ridiculous pop song. But I'm with you. That's one of the most gripping videos I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, ever made.
Yeah.
Just in terms of how much emotion is packed into it, and all, and this loss, and this epic human being's entire life kind of thrown out there with these really intense metaphors, and platinum records on the floor with the glass broken, and it was just the nature of the moodiness of that song, and a guy like this tapping into that emotion, which he could do better than anybody. It was pretty amazing.
Now, speaking of tours, I just saw this the other day that Black Sabbath, Tony Iommi, says that this might be their last tour, and you're going to be on that date on July 4th along with Motorhead and Faith No More. Have you thought about that, that this might be the last time Sabbath ever plays?
Yeah, I have thought about it. At least, you know, for a moment here and there, and then I don't really like to think about it.
Right, right.
All I can say is I'm really, really, really glad that we're going to be there, and we're going to be sort of part of it and be able to see them. I played one show with them in Germany where it was the original lineup when I was an Audioslave, and we came off the stage. It was sort of late day, but midsummer, and the sun was on the stage, and so it was super hot, and I think Timmy and I both had a sunburn from playing. And then I remember those guys walking out there and Tony Iommi walking out there and in a full-length, like floor-length black leather coat and the sun beating down on his head. And he didn't care. He was like a superhero. and then they started, I think they started with War Pigs. And I just couldn't believe how amazing it was and how much I'd actually heard other people play War Pigs. I'd heard different bands do it. I think Faith No More did it.
Right.
And I had forgotten the difference between any other band ever playing that song and the original Sabbath lineup doing it. It blew me away. And I immediately had this newfound respect for this band that I'd loved since I was a teenager. So I'm glad that we'll be able to see that happen a few more times, and you know, hopefully they will play more after this. But in the event that they don't, yes, I feel very fortunate.
Yeah, speaking of the thickness and fullness of War Pigs, I can remember the first time where I was when I heard Outshined on the radio, and it kind of reminded me of that as well.
We tried to get thick in that too.
Yeah,
like we'd yell at the engineer, like, turn up the thick, and there was a knob, big knob that said thick.
That's thick, all right.
No, that's too thick. And we broke the studio, and we backed off on the thick. But, yeah, thank you.
Hey, final thing here. I know they're going to cut me off, and I got so much. I could talk to you for hours. Nirvana just inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last month. Have you thought about your band going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame someday, or not even think about it at all?
Well, I think since Nirvana it's been brought up to us, and we've been a band for a long time. But I understand it when it's Nirvana or like the Beastie Boys, where you're talking about this iconic band where they're defunct and one of the members passed away. And I feel like it's appropriate to pause and kind of celebrate that band. But I don't know that I'm ready for that. I'm not sure what it's going to do to me in the back of my mind. You know, I feel as though we are this active band, and at this point in our career, we are as active as we ever were. And you know, that I'm not in any hurry. I think it'll be great when it happens, and I feel like something like Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that induction is really more for the fans to me. I think it speaks more about a band's fans than it even does about the band. And so I look forward to that day if it happens, but I'm not in a race to get that going.
Yeah.
There's always this notion that, well, that's it, you know, they did it. It's over. They're in the Hall of Fame. It's over.
Well, like we said earlier, we already feel older that Super Unknown is 20 years old now. So.
Yeah, I think of Super Unknown as a later period Soundgarden record, and
right.
It's 20 years old.
Yeah, because you had three records out before that one.
Yeah.
So, hey, now, final thing real fast here. Sons of Anarchy, been away too long. It was cool to see that song on the show.
I didn't actually get to see it.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you were friends with the producers or any of the actors or anything. How does that come about with a Soundgarden song on that show?
Well, I think it tends to be sort of the mixers, to be honest. Sometimes it could be the producer or the director, but most often sound mixers are trying to figure out what songs work for different moments. And someone will have an idea, and they'll try it. And if it works, then basically they call you up, or, you know, nowadays they email you.
Right.
If it's something that you want to do, if it's a place you want to have your music, then, and it seems appropriate, then you say yes, and that's how it happens.
Well, that's awesome. Deluxe and Super Deluxe CDs from Soundgarden and the Super Unknown come out on June 3rd. And, of course, the big summer tour, which will be touching right down here in Detroit with Nine Inch Nails. Chris Cornell, it's great to talk to you. Good luck this summer, and we'll talk to you again soon, I guess, when you get here to the Motor City.
All right, thanks so much.
Kind of weird to say the late Chris Cornell, but there he is from spring of 2014. Talking about all things Soundgarden. Man, what a weird day this is going to be, and a weird couple of days for sure. Soundgarden, one of my favorite grunge bands, right after Alice in Chains. I mean, right up there. Chris Cornell's voice. I mean, Kim Thayil's guitar playing. I mean, what can be said about, you know, Soundgarden? I mean, it's just an unbelievable band. And unfortunately, another tragic loss from that era of music. You know, I mean, think about this. Kurt Cobain, Layne Staley, now Chris Cornell. Man, unbelievable. Well, thank you guys so much for checking out this special edition of Radio Chatter. I hope you dug it.